This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. We thank you for listening to the show today. In Washington, the annual shutdown crisis appears to have been averted for now, so long as the House and Senate give their final approval to a temporary spending measure by 11:59 p.m. tonight when the fiscal year ends. Government agencies will keep running, but only through December 11th. Now, avoiding a shutdown today, in a way, was easy. John Boehner is on the way out as Speaker, and that means conservatives can't hurt him for passing this bill. But avoiding a shutdown or worse could be much harder in January or in December when there's not Boehner to kick around anymore. Congress has huge issues like tens of billions of dollars at stake in a budget deal that needs to happen. Also missing in today's shutdown averting move, any mention of defunding Planned Parenthood, something many conservative Republicans are still demanding, and those demands aren't going away. On Tuesday, Planned Parenthood's president, Cecile Richards, testified before the House Oversight Committee. She said videos released by anti-abortion activists were edited to mislead the public.
The outrageous accusations leveled against Planned Parenthood based on heavily doctored videos are offensive and categorically untrue.
We're going to have more on the clash between Republicans and Planned Parenthood coming up. But first, more on what's ahead for Congress between today's deadline and the looming December deadline. I'm joined by Kelsey Snell. She's with The Washington Post. She's my colleague on Capitol Hill. Hi, Kelsey.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So a shutdown avoided today, and everybody's kind of gets a half a sigh of relief, but there's much more to come.
Yeah, we are expecting them to pass the spending bill pretty quickly in the Senate in the morning and then move things along in the House. They have hours to act, but that should be plenty of time. The idea now is that they'll start some sort of budget negotiations. And yesterday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he'd like to get started writing, you know, spending top line targets that would take you through maybe through 2017 if they're lucky.
So McConnell really wants a two-year budget deal here. And behind all this is a desire on the part of Mitch McConnell, and in a way, John Boehner, too, to kind of clear the decks. A two-year budget deal would mean no more shutdown fights. We can have a presidential run, you know, without the public thinking Republicans are shutting things down again.
Right. That's absolutely the motivation. They don't want to be having another spending fight of any kind before the election. They also don't want to be talking about raising any more spending. That's undoubtedly what they will do at this point if they're able to reach a deal, is lift the spending caps that were put in place as a part of the Budget Control Act or the sequester. And that doesn't play very well for Republicans out campaigning on being deficit hawks.
Right. Well, McConnell and Boehner have to get together with President Obama. They need Nancy Pelosi in the room because you may need Democratic votes on board. You need Harry Reid in there. You know, Kelsey, this is all a big problem maybe for those very same conservatives who just managed to oust John Boehner. Why is John Boehner going to the Oval Office to negotiate tens of billions of dollars with Barack Obama when they just got rid of him? They're not going to go for that.
Well, actually, his decision to leave made it a lot easier for him to negotiate. They don't have anything, the conservatives don't have anything to hold over Boehner's head any longer. So he has 30 days to cement a deal if he's going to get one. And whether or not he gets one is still definitely up in the air. The idea is that it would be easier if nobody can threaten his job any longer for him to cut a deal, to put, you know, all the wheels in motion so that whoever takes over kind of has to finish the work he began.
Whoever takes over is likely, although not definitely, to be Kevin McCarthy of California, the majority leader. We've talked about his run for speaker. Kevin McCarthy has some decisions to make here. He's seeing John Boehner, the lame duck speaker, maybe trying to cut a massive budget deal with Democrats. McCarthy might have to oppose it.
He might, and that's the big question that a lot of Democrats have. The joke was after Boehner resigned that this was not Democrats' problem for the exact duration of the moment they were saying it wasn't their problem. We definitely expect that, you know, conservatives are going to want a price for what they see as a victory getting Boehner to resign, and they want the next leadership to really respect conservative principles as they see them. And that likely will include trying to push for spending cuts and definitely for continued votes on Planned Parenthood and votes to defund Obamacare. There's a long list of things they feel like they haven't had a chance to really make a point on.
And that hearing yesterday, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, on Planned Parenthood kind of tells you a lot about where House conservatives are now. They're not getting their vote today, but they sure want an incendiary hearing, and they got it. Kelsey Snell, before I let you go, you know, we've been talking about tens of billions of dollars in spending and maybe another December shutdown. We haven't talked about the debt limit. Listeners have heard that term before. That's also expiring, and it's not just spending that Boehner and McConnell have to cut a deal on. People have to go along with raising the debt limit. That's serious.
Yeah, that actually is the biggest problem that we see coming down the pike. They also have to figure out a way to pay for highway spending, and they've got a bunch of tax breaks that are expired or are expiring that need to be dealt with by the end of December. And the debt limit might be the thing that forces them to create some sort of bigger deal, because what used to be a simple increase of the debt limit, continue borrowing, continue the operation of the government, has now become a very controversial, very difficult thing. And Republicans say that they're going to want something in exchange for a vote to increase it.
Another thing that they might want, you know, we mentioned Kevin McCarthy, and I got to let you go, Kelsey Snell, but there are a lot of conservatives who don't think he's conservative enough. There was a little boomlet yesterday that they're pushing forward, Trey Gowdy of South Carolina. They want him to run for speaker.
They do. And he says that he is not running, but he is definitely a voice of the conservative pact in the conservative section of the House. And the draft Trey Gowdy movement is not going anywhere anytime soon.
The draft Trey Gowdy movement getting in the way of Kevin McCarthy for speaker, all the backdrop of a spending and debt limit fight that is to come. Kelsey Snell of The Washington Post, thanks so much.
Thank you.
In Congress, Republicans in the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee questioned Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards on her organization's use of taxpayer funding yesterday, and on a series of sting videos that depicted Planned Parenthood personnel speaking about donations of fetal tissue in, at times, crass ways. There were a lot of heated exchanges in this five-hour hearing, including this.
And we don't think eating dinner salads and drinking wine while you're discussing infanticide, we have a problem with that, too. So I'm sure you can understand why we would be as viscerally opposed to what we saw on some of the tapes. Would you not?
I feel like everything I've answered, you see in a different way. So I respect your opinions and...
Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood there. Now, you just heard from the very same Trey Gowdy of South Carolina that I just talked about with Kelsey Snell, a member who some conservatives want to draft to run for speaker. Irene Carmone is a national reporter for MSNBC. She's author of the forthcoming book, Notorious RBG, The Life and Times of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that comes out in late October. She joins me in the studio. Irene, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, we just heard from Trey Gowdy there, one of the many stars of this hearing. What was his role yesterday? He's got a high-profile role that's increasing.
Well, there wasn't a single Republican that didn't react with abject fury having Cecile Richards before them. This is really the first time that she's been made to face the committee. There have been other committee hearings of the four in the House of Representatives that are investigating Planned Parenthood in the wake of these videos. But this is the first time that there was an opportunity to face off Planned Parenthood's president. And I found Trey Gowdy's comments really interesting because it's referring to the first video that was released of the many secretly recorded videos that have been released by the anti-abortion group Center for Medical Progress. But it's not about fetal tissue donation. It's not about abortion. It's about eating salad and discussing infanticide. And I think when Cecile Richards objected to that characterization, she does not consider abortion infanticide. They're discussing abortion procedures. But just the optics of this Planned Parenthood doctor being caught on tape eating salad, I think was really being played up for maximum. You're not one of us. You guys are elitists. You sit in California drinking wine and eating salad. Now, Cecile Richards has apologized for that particular video, which she said was a not compassionate tone of that staff member. But at that point, it really sort of crystallized that they were portraying Planned Parenthood as a sort of un-American elitist force.
And it was that apology itself that wound up the topic of a long, heated exchange between conservative leader Jim Jordan and Cecile Richards. Listen.
Well,
It is as simple and as basic as it gets. You don't apologize for things that are inaccurate. You apologize for things that are accurate. And you said there were statements in that first video that I want to apologize for. I'm asking you to tell this committee chairman, this committee, and the American people, what were those statements?
Well, I think I've already made my explanation.
Irene Carmone, you know, I wonder, after all the shouting that took place yesterday, did we learn anything? Did we learn anything new about Planned Parenthood or about where members of Congress stand on abortion for that matter?
Well, many folks who may not have been aware of Cecile Richards' salary, which is in the mid six figures, may have learned that. But I think ultimately, you know, there is a profound disagreement about abortion. There wasn't so much conversation about fetal tissue donation, which is legal under specific regulations in a bipartisan law that passed in 1993. What we did learn is that many people are outraged at abortion. And we learned that Democrats are standing by Planned Parenthood. There was a sort of initial pause when the first videos were released. I think people were trying to get information. The optics of talking about late abortion in a casual, you said crass way, that's the video with Salad, the first video of the 10, I believe, that were released. But now, after months of this story being all over the place, after every single Republican candidate talking about it, the dust has settled a little bit. You know, we had an NBC Wall Street Journal poll that was released this week that showed that Planned Parenthood is still more popular than any political party, any political figure, more popular than Barack Obama, the Republican Party, Donald Trump. This is after months of this kind of care. You would call it bad publicity at the very least.
So is it safe to say then, despite the election year highlight reel on the divisive issue of abortion, that really the country still knows where it stands on abortion, pro or con, after yesterday's 5 hours?
Well, something that's really important to say is that the federal funding that was being discussed doesn't go to abortion. So the country remains divided on abortion. It's more or less an even split, depending on how you ask the question. Many people say that they support Roe v. Wade, but call themselves pro-life. It's a complicated question. But the Planned Parenthood funding and Planned Parenthood itself is popular because that funding goes to very consensus care, such as contraception and cancer screenings.
And Planned Parenthood, of course, not being defunded in today's spending bill that avoids a government shutdown. Irene Carmon, national reporter for MSNBC, author of Notorious RBG, The Life and Times of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.